Welcome to the International Broadcast Ministry of Touching Lives with Dr. James Merritt. Here at Touching Lives, our mission is to touch the lives of the lost and enrich the faith of the found. And now, here is pastor, author, and speaker, Dr. James Merritt.
All right, what a great day to be here this morning. You know, when you live as long as I have, you really learn a lot about people. And I've learned there are only two kinds of people that go to school. There are people who like going to school and people who don't. And the people who don't like going to school don't like the people who do like going to school. But there are two kinds of people, but those people have one thing in common. They look forward to graduation day. Everybody does that. Now, this is a picture of my very last graduation. That's me. I graduated from high school, and then college, and then seminary with my master's degree. But on this day, this was when I received my Doctor of Philosophy degree. And I want to tell you, there was a joy, there was an exhilaration. I knew at that moment, no more required reading, no more term papers, no more sleepless nights studying for final exams, no more dissertation to write, no more classes to attend. It was glorious. But I want to talk to you today and those who are watching online and on television about another graduation day that awaits for all of us. It's a graduation day you have to attend, you have to walk. And for some of us, it will be the greatest single day, the greatest graduation day of all. Because it's on that day we will really finally know that there will be no more death, no more disease, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering. Now for others, it won't be that way. On their graduation day, it will be a day of dread, a day of disappointment, discouragement, defeat that no mind can conceive. Because you see, on this graduation day, we don't walk across the stage. We're raised from the dead. And I believe deep down, the resurrection is a hope within every person. I really believe that. I don't believe there's a person in the world that deep down really doesn't hope maybe there's life after death. Well, here's the good news for those of us who are followers of Jesus. The Bible not only speaks about the hope of the resurrection, it leaves no doubt about the fact of the resurrection. Now, if you're visiting with us for the first time or tuning in for the first time, we've been in a series we're actually winding up today. We've been calling From Here to Eternity. And what we did was we started several weeks ago with death, and we've been taking a panoramic view. What's ahead? What's out there? If there is life after death, beginning from the time we die, what is going to be? So today we come to an event that every human being is going to experience. It's going to be the same experience that Jesus had. It's going to be a physical resurrection. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not talking today about the Easter resurrection. We talk about once a year the resurrection of Jesus. I'm talking about the future resurrection of the saint. I'm not even talking about the resurrection of the unbeliever. That's a whole other message. I'm just talking about the resurrection of the believer. Because what the Word of God teaches, and by the way, what life tells us is we are going to die. This body that I'm in, that body that you're in, is going to die. But God's Word promises God is going to raise this body because it really is His body, and He's going to make it into a new body so we'll never need another body. Now, you ought to say amen to that. I worked hard on that one sentence. It took me an hour to put that together, okay? So this body's going to die. But it's going to be raised from the dead because it's His body. He's going to make it in a new body. I will never need another body. So God has promised, hey, we're going to live forever. And I know most of all of us believe that. But then the question is, but how are we going to live forever? What are we going to be like? What will be the state of our existence? What kind of a body will it be? I don't want to embarrass him, but one of my very best friends in the world is with me today, sitting on the front row. He's my college classmate. First guy I met in college. I didn't know a soul when I went to Stetson University, and we met the very first day. That's been 50 plus years ago, and we've been best friends ever since. And I take the joy of telling you that the year after we graduated, I led him to Christ. and he's just a different man. He's one of my best buddies. So this weekend, even last night, we were talking about the things of the Lord. We got to talking about this resurrection. Well, I want you to take God's word, and I want you to turn to a book called 1 Corinthians. So I don't know where that is. It's easy to find. It's right before 2 Corinthians. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in effect, I was talking about finishing my PhD. This is basically Paul's doctoral dissertation. And Paul writes his dissertation on the resurrection. As a matter of fact, Paul talks more about the resurrection of the body in chapter 15 than the rest of the Bible talks about put together. So we're going to learn today what God said to Paul was, what this resurrection is all about. So simply put, you know, I like to give my sermon in a sentence. So here's my sermon in a sentence. Here's what we're going to learn today. If you are a follower of Jesus, what goes down in earth comes up in the resurrection. What goes down in earth comes up in the resurrection. So what is the resurrection? Why is it so important? What is our body going to be like? So there are four things I want to share with you. Listen real fast. Number one, let's consider the possible manifestation of the resurrection. Let's consider the possible manifestation of the resurrection. Now, we got to go back to what brought all this up. There was this big discussion going on in the early church, and I mean, it's kind of a debate. And it came out of a question that people were asking Paul, and it really is a good question. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body will they come? So you had people in the church back then, and they were questioning the very doctrine of the resurrection. And they were really asking two questions. They were asking a question, first of all, about the probability of the resurrection. How can that even be? And then, even if it can be, then they were asking about the product of the resurrection. Well, what does it look like? What kind of body will be raised? Now, to be very fair, this was a very honest question. How in the world can a dead person be raised from the dead? We were talking about this last night. How can a body that's blown to bits in an explosion be put back together? How can a body that's disintegrated in a fiery plane crash be put back together? Or how can a body that's been buried, but it's been buried for thousands of years and now it's just nothing but dust, how do you put that together? How can that happen? And so there's only one answer to that question, and actually Paul answers it in another question he asked another man at another time. Because there was another time that Paul was standing before a pagan king, his name was Agrippa, and he was preaching the gospel to him. And he was hoping to convert him to Christ, and he asked him this question, and it's a great question. Here's what he said. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? So if you were to say to me, so Pastor, how is it possible that dust can come back in the form of a supernatural body? Answer in one word, God. Because I got news for you. With God, all things are possible. Not some things, not most things, not big things, not little things. With God, all things are possible. So let me just be honest with you. If you're a skeptic, you're a cynic, you're an atheist, you're an agnostic, and you're just not buying this resurrection vision. I just don't believe that. Scientifically, it cannot happen. Let me just be very honest with you. You're not struggling with believing in the resurrection. You're not even struggling with believing in miracles. Your struggle is with believing in God. Because the moment you understand there is a God who can do anything, the resurrection is a piece of cake. That's really not a real big deal. And by the way, when I read in the first chapter of the Bible that God was able to make a human being out of nothing, it hit me. If God can create a human being out of dust in the first place, he can reconstruct it out of dust in the second place. So the answer to the question is, so how are dead bodies raised to begin with is very simple. By the power of the God who created the body to begin with. But that really isn't the big question they were asking, because they knew deep down that kind of the answer to that question. What they really wanted to know is, but what's it going to be like? I know what this body is like. You know what your body is like, but what's this body going to be like? So, number two, let's consider not just the possible manifestation of the resurrection, let's consider the practical illustration of the resurrection. Now, for the next few verses, stay with me, Paul's going to answer the second part of the question. What kind of body will this resurrected body be? Now, I'll tell you how great Paul is, how sharp Paul is. You know, Ken, we were talking last night about Paul and Jesus. Well, Paul knew all about Jesus. And Paul learned something from Jesus, and it's a great, great thing to learn. Many times when Jesus was asked a question, you know what Jesus would do? He would say, let's just walk outside. Let's just look at the birds of the sea. Birds of the air. Let's look at the fish in the sea. He said, let's just go outside. Paul does the same thing. He said, hey, let's just walk outside. Because everywhere you look, Paul said, you will see examples of the resurrection. And he takes us to three different worlds. First of all, he takes us to the agricultural world. So down in verse 36, he says this, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that it will be, but just a seed because of wheat or something else. So Paul does a great thing. He says, look, I want you to think of it this way. Think of your body like it's a seed. And a seed is planted. Now, if you've ever planted anything, my dad used to raise a garden, and so maybe you've worked in a garden, or maybe you like to plant flowers. If you've ever planted a seed, then you really understand this. Because when you sow a seed into the earth, what happens to that seed? It dies. It dissolves. It disintegrates. But just be patient. Because in time, out of the death of that seed comes what? A stalk of corn, a living plant. Now, the plant is different from the seed, but it comes from the seed. So stick with me. Paul says the body is like a seed. So like a seed is buried, the body is buried. But like a seed comes back to life, the body comes back to life. I read the other day about a kid in the first grade. And they were studying how plants come and how seeds are planted and how, you know, how plants come out of seeds. Well, it hadn't been long before, after this study, that somebody in his family had died that they loved very, very much, and they had just attended the funeral, and he was thinking about that. So one day, he and his mom were driving past a cemetery, and the son was thinking about what he studied in class, and he was thinking about that funeral. And he said, hey, Mom, he said, you see that graveyard over there? She said, yeah. He said, that's where they plant people. You know what? Paul would have said amen to that. That is what happens. I'll never see a cemetery again after doing this message. That is where they plant people. In fact, maybe that ought to change the way we think when we go to a graveside service. I did a graveside service for my former administrative assistant just about 3 weeks ago. And I watched them as they put that grave in there. And then we left before they covered it up. It was a very sad thing for me. And then I got to thinking about it even as I was working on this message. I thought, wait a minute. Joanne wasn't buried. Joanne was planted. That grave is not just a hole in the ground. It is a seedbed waiting for harvest. That's why you will never see a farmer weeping and crying when he plants a seed. You ever seen a farmer do that? You ever seen a farmer plant a seed and they just weep and cry? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, he doesn't weep and cry. As a matter of fact, he's glad to plant that seed. He's glad because he's not crying over the loss of the seed. He actually knows, you know what? I'm planting that seed because I'm anticipating that seed to bear fruit, to give a crop, to be raised from the dirt. Well, Paul says when you think about it, that's exactly what happens with the burial of a believer. Because in effect, the burial of the believer is at the same time the guarantee of the resurrection. The seed is the guarantee of the plant. The burial is the guarantee of the body. So Paul looks at the agricultural world. He says, you see resurrection there. But then Paul looks at the animal world. So in verse 38, he says this. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives it its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. Now what's the point Paul is making? He's saying, look, we're all going to have a resurrection body, but it won't be the same body. Just like you can tell a difference between a human and a fish and a bird, we'll be able to tell a difference between each other. I mean, you know, you look at me, right? I don't have fins. I don't have scaly skin. You say, okay, you're not a fish. You know, you're not a bird. You're a human being. And even at that, there are no two birds just alike, no two fish just alike, no two humans just alike. You may not know this. Not even identical twins are exactly alike. They each have different fingerprints. And the point Paul is making is we're not going to be carbon copies of one another in heaven. We're going to be different. Just like we're unique here, we're going to be unique there. You're not me, I'm not you. I won't be you there, you won't be me. You'll be you, I'll be me. So I will still be me, and you'll still be you, because God is the God of the original. God doesn't make copies, because I hope you know this. When God made you, He made you an original. There is nobody just like you. When God made me, He made one and only me. There will never be anybody else just like me. Don't say amen to that. There will never be anybody else just like me. There will be nobody else just like you. Just like no two snowflakes are alike, we're all going to have the same type of resurrection body, but it will be different. Your body will be different from mine. My body will be different from yours. So Paul says, when you look at the animal world, you can see resurrection. And then Paul said, well, look, we've looked at the agricultural world, we looked at the animal world, let's look at the astronomical world. So he says this in verse 40. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the earthly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another, and stars differ from stars in splendor. So what's his point? It's very simple. He says, you go out at night and you look up into the sky. Nobody has to point out the differences. You know the difference. That's the moon. That's the sun. That's the Milky Way. That's Mars. You can tell the difference. You know when you're looking at the sun. You know when you're looking at the moon. You know when you're looking at a planet. You know them by their appearance. Now, what was Paul saying? What was his point? Paul was saying, just like you recognize planets when you look at them, we're going to recognize each other when we see each other in heaven. We're going to know each other even now. You know, people ask the question sometimes. They'll say, Pastor, are we really going to know each other in heaven? I mean, really? And I love the way Charles Spurgeon put it. He gave the best answer. He said, well, we know each other down here, don't we? Do you think we're going to be bigger fools in heaven? Yes, we're going to know each other. We're going to know Jesus as we are now known. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something that hit me when I worked on this message. You ready for this? We don't know how many people are going to be in heaven when we get there. More than the stars. But you ready for this? You will not meet one stranger in heaven. It's amazing. My buddy, I've introduced him to several people, you know, in around the church. We walk around the church. This is Ken. This is this. There won't be any need for introduction. You know, you hey, I'm Paul. Oh, I know who you are. Or, hey, I know who you are, James. We're going to know each other just as we are known now. Everybody is going to know everybody. And by the way, for the first time, for some of you who like to gossip, you're going to love heaven. Everybody's going to know about everybody's business because nobody's got any business except God's business. So it's okay, all right? So Paul says, look, let's look at the practical illustration. Just walk outside. You see resurrection everywhere. But then Paul says a third thing. He said, you know, we've considered the possible manifestation. And we considered the practical illustration. But now let's consider the powerful transformation of the resurrection. Now here's what Paul does. Now Paul says, okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty. Let's really answer your question. What kind of body is my body going to be? Well, you really can sum it up in one word. Let's say that word out loud. Transformation. Say it out loud. Transformation. All right? That's what you need to remember. My body, your body, our bodies are going to be transformed into an ageless body. This dying body is going to be transformed into a divine body. This body that will be put in a grave somewhere is going to be headed for glory. So Paul says down in verse 42, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It will be raised imperishable. And I know you know this. But you're like me. You're living in a body that's perishable. I'm living in a body that is perishable. Your body is kind of like milk that's left outside of a refrigerator. It's going to sour. It's going to be thrown out. It's going to spoil. It is going to die. I'm just a dying body and a dying person preaching to a dying people. My body has a terminal disease. It's called life. And inside of my body somewhere, there is an expiration date called death. And at that moment, it will no longer be a dying body. It will be a dead body. But it won't be just a dead body. It will be a decaying body. And I don't care how strong you are, how muscular you are, how fit you are, how much you work out, your body is perishable. But Paul says, but We're going to be raised imperishable. Our future bodies are going to be indestructible. So let me give you some good news. Those of us who are older and are tired of them, no birthdays in heaven. No worry. Don't have to worry about blowing. Think about this. Wouldn't that be terrible? You've lived 100,000 years. How would you like to try to blow out 100,000 candles? But no birthdays in heaven, right? I mean, there'll be no need for Botox, no need for plastic surgery. You don't need to take vitamins, medicine, don't need to go on a diet, don't need to get a physical. I like the way one poet put it. I don't know who wrote it, but it's so good. He said, the stars may live for a million years and a day, but God and I will still be alive when all the stars passed away. See, we will be imperishable. But then Paul goes on to say this. It is sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. Well, what does that mean? Well, let me give you this analogy. What is the hardest rock and the most precious jewel on earth? Somebody tell me. A diamond. Do you understand what a diamond is made of? A diamond is made of carbon. Do you know what else is made of carbon? Coal. So a diamond starts out as a lump of coal. A diamond and a coal are things and elements. But you take a diamond and a coal, I think you'll say they look different. They're much more valuable. One's much more worthy. And what Paul is saying is this body is going to be buried just like a lump of coal. But one day it's going to be raised as a diamond that will shine forever and never lose its luster. So let me put it to you in a way that you will always remember. Everybody will be somebody with a beautiful body like his body. Everybody. Won't you give the Lord a hand? Everybody will be somebody with a beautiful body like his body. But then he goes on to say this. He says, let me tell you something else. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. Ken and I were talking about this coming into church this morning. We're talking about just how hard it is to understand the ways of God. And we were talking about how right now our body is limited by time and space and matter. And our body is subject to all kinds of diseases and injuries and pain. But then Paul says, but not the new body. The new body will be free from all the shackles of humanity. You won't be limited by time, by space, material substance, or anything else. We will have superhuman, supernatural power. You will not need to sleep. Because you will never get tired. You'll never need to stop and catch your breath because you'll never run out of breath. You'll never need a sabbatical or a day off. You won't need a rocket ship to go into outer space. You won't need a plane to fly. You won't even need a boat to go across a body of water. You won't need GPS. You don't ever need to pack for a trip. In other words, let me put it to you this way. You comic book lovers, you'll love this. On the resurrection day, your Clark Kent days are over. Superman is here to stay. And not even kryptonite can touch your body. So the crux of the whole matter is this. Paul says, it's sown a natural body now, but it's raised a spiritual body. Because if there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Now this is so important, don't miss it. The resurrection body is not a spirit body. It's a spiritual body. It's not a spirit body. It's not a ghost. It's not a cloud. It's not a mist. The resurrection body is going to be just as real as this one. You can touch it. You can feel it. Because, by the way, it wasn't the spirit of Jesus that was raised from the dead. It was his body that was raised from the dead. And it was in that body that Jesus could walk through walls. You say, I don't understand that. Neither do I. It's going to be cool when you do it. He could eat fish. He could be instantly transported from one place to another. So Paul sums it all up this way, verse 47. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, we will also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, all of that was just Paul's way of saying one thing. If you really want to know what your resurrection body is going to be like, just look at Jesus, because his body will be just like your body, and your body will just be like his body. Our resurrection bodies are going to be just like the resurrection of the body of Jesus. And oh, by the way, so how do you know that? They have to be. What do you mean? Well, because of what Paul says next. He says in verse 50, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. You see, the reason why God can't take me to heaven in this body is because this body can't survive in heaven. Your body couldn't survive in heaven. We wouldn't last 1 second. The only body that can exist in the environment of heaven is a resurrected body. Why? Because earthly bodies were equipped to live on earth. So you breathe the oxygen of earth, and you drink the water of earth, and you eat the food of earth. But our earthly bodies aren't suitable for heaven. We must have a heavenly body, one that is just like Jesus. I love to tell people, we're not just going to see what Jesus is like when we get to heaven. We're going to be what Jesus is like when we get to heaven. He's going to give us a body just like His. Now, that just ought to fire you up. That just ought to get you excited. That really should, in a sense, take away the fear of the grave and the dread of death. I love the story. You may have heard it. I don't know. It was a farmer. And this farmer had lived on a farm all of his life. He had never been to a big city. Never. Never, ever been to a big city. As a matter of fact, he'd never seen a building over 2 stories tall, ever. Well, one day he got the chance. He'd saved some money, and so he decided he wanted to go in to visit this major city. And so they went there, and they got a little hotel room, and they're walking around. For the first time, he sees these humongous skyscrapers. It just takes his breath away. He's never seen anything like it. I mean, taller than the trees that he grew up with. He's just never seen buildings this big. And so he thought he'd go into one of these big buildings, and he goes in, and he sees this door, and he didn't know what it was, but it was an elevator. And it fascinated him, his teenage son was with him. The mom had waited outside, and well, all of a sudden, the door opens. He watches this old lady walk in, and the door shuts behind her. He watches these numbers, and they start going up, 0, 1, 2, 3, go all the way up to 25. And then all of a sudden, the numbers start going back down from 25, come all the way back to 1. And the door opens. And this blonde bombshell walks out of this elevator. He couldn't believe his eyes. He looked at his son. He said, son, stay here. Don't you move. I'm going to go get your mother and run her through that thing. Now, one of these days, Jesus is going to come back. And grave tops all over the world are going to fly open. And bodies are going to walk into a resurrection elevator. And when those doors open, you can say for the first time, baby, look at you now. What a body this is. It's going to undergo a powerful transformation. I get chill bumps just doing this. This is just about to rapture here. So Paul says one last thing. You know about the resurrection? We've talked about the possible manifestation. We've talked about the practical illustration. We've talked about the powerful transformation. One last thing. Let's consider the positive affirmation of the resurrection. In other words, here's a question I want to ask you. If I said to you, do you believe you're going to be raised from the dead? Oh, yeah, I believe that. And do you believe you're going to have a brand new body? Yes, I believe that. Do you believe everything Paul has told us about what that body's going to be like? Absolutely, man, I'm all in. Now then, I want to raise a big question. Well, so what? So what? What difference should that make in your life? I mean, is all I've talked about just theological truth? Just philosophical, feel-good stuff? Or is there something about what I just talked about that ought to make Monday morning a lot more meaningful to you? Is there something about what we've talked about that ought to give you a different perspective on your job and on your life and on your family and on who you are and on what you do and on how you do it? Well, let me just tell you this. The resurrection is not just a theological truth you ought to know in your head. It is not just a physical truth you can apply to your heart. It is actually a very practical truth. Paul says, I want you to apply it to your life. So listen to what he says now down in verse 51. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We'll all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Paul says, I'll tell you one thing that ought to be very practical for you. One thing you can apply in your life. Don't ever fear death anymore. And don't spend too much time grieving over a grave, because Jesus has taken the doom out of death. Jesus has taken the gloom out of the grave, because what is in the ground is not a dead body. What is in the ground is a seed that's been planted that one day will be harvested in a resurrection. And then Paul goes on to say this in verse 58, therefore. Now, every time you see a therefore, always ask this question. What is that therefore? So when Paul says therefore, he's giving you alert. He says, okay, you remember everything I just said? Yeah, I remember. What did I tell you? You told me what? Goes down in earth, will come up in the resurrection. Yep, goes down in death, comes up in the resurrection. Okay, Paul says, all right, if you believe that, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Now watch this. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now listen to what Paul said. Because of the resurrection, because we're going to be raised to live with God forever, here's what Paul said. If you really believe that, if you really believe this is not the end, if you really believe there's more, if you really believe one day God's going to raise your body from the dead, and you really believe one day you're going to stand before that God who created you, who made you, who loved you, who died for you, who came back from you, and who brought you back from the dead and raised you and gave you this body, if you really believe all of that, you above all people ought to want every moment of your life to count for Him. Every moment of your life. You want it to be for Him and for His glory, because what Paul is saying is we're going to be rewarded in this resurrection day. We're going to be evaluated. And all those good things you thought nobody saw, God did. All those good things you thought nobody knew about, God did. All those people you helped you thought nobody paid attention, God did. So you're going to be rewarded. So since we have the prospect of the resurrection before us, and we have the person of the resurrection behind us, and we have the power of the resurrection within us, no wonder we ought to give ourselves fully to the work of God, knowing even if we die, listen, even if we die and we're buried, you ready for this? You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good man down. So, I get chill bumps. I've got it right now. So I want you to close your Bibles and your pens, your iPads, and I want you to put everything down. Give me your full attention for the next 3 minutes. We're done. Because I want to tell you a story. One of my heroes, I love history, and one of my heroes, and I think one of the greatest men who ever lived, was Winston Churchill. And I've read his biography. He had some great sayings, a very wise man. Well, what people don't know about Winston Churchill was he planned his own funeral, which, you knowing Churchill, you could expect that. But what a lot of people don't know is he believed in Jesus, and he believed in a resurrection. So he planned his funeral with the hope of the resurrection, which he firmly believed in. So you can imagine they had his funeral there in St. Paul's Cathedral. It was packed out. And they did not know that Churchill had planned his funeral out, so they didn't know what was coming. So after the sermon and the eulogy and after the last prayer, Churchill had instructed a bugler to be up high in the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral. And this is what they heard. You're a military man, you know what that is. That's taps. That was the universal signal to every soldier that the day is over. It's time to cease from battle. It's time to lay down. It's time to rest. Well, people thought, how cool. People thought, man, what a way to end a funeral. But it hadn't ended. Because Churchill had all instructed another bugler who was placed on the other side of that cathedral. And then they heard this. You're a military man. That's a universal signal that it's time to get up. One day, if Jesus tarries, they're going to be playing taps for you. And they're going to be playing taps for me. But there's another day coming. Black preachers call it that great getting up morning. And Gabriel's going to blow another trumpet. And it's going to be reveille, where we will all rise to meet the Lord in the air. And we will ever be with the Lord in the body we were always meant to have. So even so, come, Lord Jesus. Would you pray with me? With heads bowed and with eyes closed. I have a question, and I want every one of you to listen carefully. And if you're watching right now, I want you to very listen. One of these days, taps will be played over your body. The question is, when the reveille is played and you're raised from the dead, and you will you be raised to meet God as your Savior, or will you be raised to meet God as your judge? You're going to meet God one way or the other. Your body's going to be raised. You're going to live forever somewhere. And the only way to die is the only way to live. And that is with Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, as your Lord and as your Savior. So I wonder who in this room today, and I wonder who watching me right now, you would be honest enough to say, I'm not ready for that day. As a matter of fact, if I die today, it'd be a bad day for me. Well, it doesn't have to be. I wonder who among us today would say, you know, I've realized I've been religious, but I've never been redeemed. I've been born physically. I've never been born again spiritually. I need Christ. I need this resurrected Lord living in me right now. Why don't you tell Him? Why don't you just say, Lord Jesus, I believe You were raised from the dead. I believe You're going to raise me from the dead. I believe You died for my sins. So I'll never have to die for my sins. And I'm asking You today to forgive me. I'm asking You to come into my heart and save me. I'm asking You to come into my life and become my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sin. I turn away from my sin. And I surrender all that I am to all that You are. Thank You for hearing my prayer. Lord, thank You for saving me today.
The 2023 Mountaintop Conference is headed back to the beautiful Mansion Theater in Branson, Missouri, October 2nd through 4th. Don't miss this exciting event packed with impactful preaching from Dr. James Merritt and the powerful vocals of Charles Billingsley, the Booth Brothers, and Jim and Melissa Brady. In addition to Dr. Merritt, two of his friends join him, Pastor Ted Cunningham from Woodland Hills Family Church in Branson and decorated Black Hawk Down Army veteran Dr. Jeff Strucker will bring inspiring messages. You will leave relaxed, refreshed, and renewed after spending time in the beautiful Ozark Mountains with old and new friends. Visit mountaintopconference.com for all the details and make plans to join Dr. James Merritt at the 2023 Mountaintop Conference. This fall, Dr. James Merritt is inviting you to join the first ever Touching Lives Bible Study by joining other viewers in exploring one of the most important books of the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians. For a gift of any size, you'll receive a copy of Dr. Merritt's new commentary, Exalting Jesus in 1 Corinthians. It's an in-depth study of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, written with everyday believers in mind. And as a bonus, we have prepared a free 16-week study and discussion guide to accompany the book. You can get both by going to touchinglives.org/fallstudy right now. Don't miss this impactful 16-week Bible study. Get your free study materials today and let God's Word in 1 Corinthians transform your life. Touching the lives of the lost and enriching the faith of the found. This is Touching Lives with Dr. James Merritt. This broadcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.